So Abraham, he's been called out of his land. He's been given great promises. He's been promised that he will become a nation, that he will have an inheritance, that blessing will come to him and to the whole world through him, that those who decide to be his enemies will come under God's curse. But God did not give his timetable. He didn't say, and here are the dates, here are the times. No, he had to have faith. He had to wait for God to accomplish his promises in the proper time, just like us. God's given us his promises, but he hasn't given us a timetable. So what can we do? We can have faith. We can walk in obedience. We can wait upon the Lord for the fulfillment. And so Abraham, he became a stranger in a foreign land. Stranger in the promised land, just like us. The Lord has said that the earth will belong to his people. He has said that one day, Psalm 37, we'll look for the wicked and they won't be here. He said that all things will be ours. But he hasn't told us just how, when these things will come to pass. We have to live by faith. And faith is always tested. It's tried. And that's what happens in this passage. Verse 10. He was in the land and there was a famine. So he's left all the good earthly blessings of Ur, of the Chaldees or Babylon. He's left his family. He comes to this land and there's hunger. There's need and there's lack. He's tested with troubles. Now Abraham is our father for us to learn from him. And if you hear me teaching and if you hear any servant of the Lord teaching, he'll tell you there's no crown before the cross. Your faith must be purified. It must be tried even with fire. Apostle Paul said, through many troubles, many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Those who preach a smooth and easy life for Christians preach lies. Abraham's faith had to be tested, and his just one of those early tests. From prosperity he came into famine when he went on the route that God was leading him. And what's he going to be tempted to do? To go back? Why have I come here? Maybe this isn't God's call. I heard him speaking about great blessing and the great nation, but here I am in famine, so maybe I've just got it wrong. Maybe I should return to the place that I came from. But he didn't. He didn't do that. If you have in your mind some kind of idea of the ancient world, or the world that Abraham was in, the land of Canaan, you remember he'd come from Ur of the Chaldees over here. You've got to follow the river Euphrates, where there's water, where there's life, and then come down into the land. And he didn't go back. He went into Egypt, which is further down, so right in the northeast of Africa. He comes further into Egypt. And he did a wise thing. He wouldn't let himself be tempted. And if he'd started to search for food and water back up the way he came, he might have been tempted to go all the way back. If there's wrong things you've turned away from and that you've left behind, things the Lord called you out of when you were converted, when trouble comes, don't start heading back to that direction again, but come away from it. Seek your help elsewhere. When he came to Egypt, there was another test for him. There was some more trouble that came to him. His wife, we're told, was a very beautiful woman, Sarah. And although living today at her age, seems she was about 65, and there's not many who've kept their beauty at 65, but in those times, not too long after the floods, they were still living to quite long ages. Sarah was only about halfway through her life, it seemed. We're told about her death later on. And she was a very beautiful woman. And Abraham was concerned. If he came as a stranger into Egypt, they would see his wife, they would desire her, and they would take her. and his life would be in danger. They'd say, well, let's kill her husband so that she can be ours. That was a test of Abraham's faith. Now, Abraham, of course, had been told that he was going to be blessed. He was going to have children. He was going to become a great nation. So, really, he couldn't perish in that way. He'd been told that those who became his enemies would be under God's curse. So, the thing he feared couldn't really happen to him. It wasn't really possible. But what he could see was the danger and the problem. And how would he respond to it? Had he begun to forget God's curse? Or did he not think it would protect him? And the promise of blessing and protection. Did he not think he'd be safe? Because what happened, we'll come to verses 14, 15, 16. The plan he made comes just before that in verse 13. What happened was, he said, just say you're my sister. Don't mention being my wife, say you're my sister. Now if you remember, she is his half-sister. They shared a father, though different mother. She is actually his sister, so it's not a complete lie. He didn't fall so far that he just told complete lies. But he decided to hide the truth. Hide the main part of the truth. And that is a form of lying, really. You know, if you tell something that's not the important part of the truth, and there's no reason for it, there's no good and godly reason for it. You know, Abraham didn't know that the Egyptians were his enemies. He'd not been there before. He just decided they're his enemies before he ever met them. And he decided to hide the truth before he even knew what the danger might be. So that was his plan that he formed. So his faith was not a perfect faith. The Bible is very honest about the failures of God's people. You know, you read about Moses, how he became angry. And he lost the blessing of entering the promised land. We read about David, who committed murder and adultery. And we read about Lot. He was a righteous man, yet he did a terrible thing when he went to live in Sodom and to make his peace with the people of Sodom. And when later we find that he fathered children with his own daughters. We read of men of faith, and yet the sins they fell into. Earlier this morning, who were we with? We were with Peter. And what did Peter do? He denied the Lord three times. You know, the Bible has one hero who's perfect. It's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in men, not in pastors, not in planters of churches, not in bishops, so-called. But in Jesus Christ alone, the one perfect man. So when we study Abraham, we learn from his mistakes as well as from his successes. Our faith is encouraged in the right way by learning the things he did wrong as well as the things he did right. When we come to verses 14 to 16, we've got there now, we see the plan did not work. When we try to help God with our own plans, often we'll find they don't work, because God didn't need help. He didn't need us to twist the truth. He didn't need us to hide in the darkness a little bit. We can walk in the light, where our enemies can see us, and where they can aim their shots at us, and we'll be safe. God didn't need our help of heading into the darkness a bit. Because what happens is they do see Sarah. They see that she's a very beautiful woman. And she's praised to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, probably like other kings in the East, in those days, he had many wives. And if it was reported a beautiful woman had come into the land or grown up in the land, he'd send out his officials. They'd look at her and they'd take her. We read of what happened to Esther. Now, that was a bit different. It seems a king, Artaxerxes, in the book of Esther, he had one main wife. But what happened with Esther was, before she could fully become his wife, she had to go through all kinds of ceremonies, purifications, washings, and that took some time. And it seems in there was a kind of flow of wives coming into Pharaoh's household. In the time King Artaxerxes with Esther, he had one main wife, but he had others who were in his group, his harem it was called. Pharaoh seems he had many wives, but she's seen and she's taken. Abraham receives gifts from Pharaoh, kind of blessing. One, though, that would have hurt him, because he knows this blessing hadn't come in a good way, hadn't come in a proper way. He hadn't been honest. He hadn't trusted the Lord. And it would have hurt him. It would have reminded him. Abraham is praised and Sarah is praised in the Bible for their faith and trust in God. But not at this time. Now let's then see what happens. Because God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. God will do what he has said he will do, even when we have started to wander out of the way. You know, Abraham hadn't rejected God, hadn't rejected his promises. He just thought he needed a bit of help with them. But God rescued him out of this situation. Because how is he going to have a son now? How is he going to have a nation when his wife has been taken away? And if his wife is defiled by Pharaoh, how are the promises going to be accomplished? Well, God intervened. At verse 17, he brought serious diseases. He brought plagues on Pharaoh. He brought plagues on Pharaoh's household because of Abram's wife. And we read in Psalm 105, God rebuked kings for the sake of his people, his chosen ones. God cared nothing for Pharaoh's power and honour, but he rebukes him for the sake of Abraham. So we don't need to despair. We don't need to give up. God will rebuke even kings when we're in danger. Prime ministers and presidents, if they get in the way of the church, God will put them to the side so that his church can keep going forward. We don't need to cheat and to help him out of a problem. And somehow, Pharaoh came to understand the problem, why his household was suffering. Verse 8, he summoned Abraham. And what did he say? Did he say, well, I'm going to put you to death for the wicked thing you've done, or the foolish thing you've done, how you've tried to deceive me, and how you brought me into this trouble and brought these plagues on my household? No, he didn't. He said, well, he rebuked him. He said, why have you done this? What was your reason? Do you think I'm such an evil man, I'll steal another man's wife? Why didn't you tell me? You've put me in danger. Now take her and go. And he doesn't chase him out, but he lets him go. They send him with everything. He doesn't say, give me back those sheep, those donkeys, those cattle, those servants, those camels. No, he says, you go with them. The Pharaoh shows a kind of a good spirit, doesn't he? He doesn't look for some revenge over Abraham. He doesn't say, give me those gifts back, you deceived me. But he shows a much better heart than Abraham was fearing. Often, if you're a Christian, you'll fear some situation. You'll fear somebody big and powerful. You'll fear you're going to be in trouble. But when you get there, you'll see that God had gone ahead of you. He prepared the way. When Nehemiah wanted to visit Jerusalem, he had to ask the king, and it says he was in fear. But he didn't need to, because God had already prepared the heart of the king. And the king said, you go, there's no problem. Well, it must have been a lesson for Abraham to be rebuked by this pagan. You know, Abraham was a man who had God's promises. And now a man, Pharaoh, who probably knew almost nothing about the true God, rebukes him and shows him a better way. There's a time in the Bible when a man was rebuked by his donkey, Balaam the prophet. He was a prophet of God, and yet his donkey rebuked him. And we should be humble, ready to receive rebukes wherever they come from. If children tell us a better way, we should receive it from them. If they show us that we were wrong. Abraham survived this visit to Egypt. The promises were still intact. He had his wife with him. She wasn't defiled. See, all the time she was in Pharaoh's household, she was probably preparing to be his wife. All the washings, all the rituals, all the ceremonies that they had to go through in those times. But she came out safely. And Abraham was able to go on his way. God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. When his children go the wrong way, he doesn't ruin and destroy them. But he brings them back. Lessons then about faith. We don't need to cheat. We don't need to help God out. We'll do what's right. And he'll take care of it. Many times he rescues us when we've gone wrong. But let's not put him to the test in that way. Let's walk in the right way. Believe him. Walk in the light. Even if we think there's danger. There's not really any danger when you're in God's path. Because God himself takes care of you. Let's keep on living by faith.